It's 7:43. I'm Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning. Today, we conclude a three-part series of stories on candidates for West Virginia's Supreme Court of Appeals.
I think that a continued focus on the ethical obligations of judges and attorneys needs to continue.
But first, this news. Hundreds of people peacefully marched through the streets of downtown Morgantown Tuesday, calling for justice and equality for people of color following the deaths of unarmed black people at the hands of police. Brittany Patterson has more.
People, young, old, some families with kids, gathered in front of the Morgantown courthouse Tuesday morning to protest police brutality and violence. They joined millions of Americans who have taken to the streets following the deaths of unarmed black people, including George Floyd in Minneapolis and Breonna Taylor in Louisville. Morgantown rally co-organizer Samantha Norris.
This is for every single black person who doesn't feel at home in America, because this is our home. And we want to make it feel like home.
Protest organizers stress this was a peaceful event and urge participants to wear masks to protect themselves and others from the coronavirus. The protesters, chanting and many holding signs, repeatedly snake their way through downtown. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Morgantown.
Police in the state's panhandles were investigating two separate incidents related to protests against police violence. Corey Nollinger has more.
At noon on Tuesday, Ohio County closed the Wheeling City Building out of caution after social media posts said violent protesters were busing in from out of state. Wheeling officials had warned the public through social media to avoid downtown Wheeling, but reported this afternoon that no buses showed up and rumors seemed to be unfounded. As of 1 p.m. on Tuesday, while the city building remained closed, there were no road closures and no safety issues, according to police. A locally organized protest was scheduled for noon on Tuesday, but was canceled by organizers. This all comes after a peaceful protest took place in front of the city building on Sunday. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Panhandle, Martinsburg police are investigating after someone fired shots during a protest on Sunday. No one was injured. In a news release, police said they also arrested eight people after protesters did not comply with orders to leave the area Sunday night. A protest earlier in the day was peaceful, but police said a second event became, quote, disruptive, end quote. The release said the protesters were blocking traffic. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nollinger.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:46. Becoming partly sunny today, there's a chance of afternoon rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s and low 90s. Partly cloudy tonight, chance of rain and thunderstorms, especially in the north with low temperatures in the 60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by CAMC, caring for our community during the coronavirus pandemic. Information about testing and updates available at camc.org. Next week's primary election will serve as the deciding election for three open seats on the five-person bench of the West Virginia Supreme Court. So far, we've taken a look at candidates for Divisions 1 and 2, whose winners will each serve the standard 12-year term on the state's high court. But the winner of Division 3 will serve the remaining 4 years left on the term. Dave Mistich explains and has more on the candidates in that race.
Justice John Hutchison was appointed by Governor Jim Justice in December 2018 to fill the vacancy left by the resignation of Justice Alan Laufrey. Laufrey was elected to the Supreme Court in 2012 as a Republican before judicial elections became nonpartisan, but his term was cut short following an investigation into lavish office renovations and using state resources for private gain. Laufrey is currently serving a 2-year federal prison sentence for fraud, making false statements and witness tampering related to the scandal. Hutchison is running to keep the seat for the remainder of the term that expires in 2024. He says the court has come a long way since his appointment.
We've implemented 11 separate written policies. You wouldn't have thought we needed some of those policies. Common sense would tell you you don't drive a car out of state on a golf trip, but a state car out of state. But we've done that, and I think that a continued focus on the ethical obligations of judges and attorneys needs to continue.
Hutchison also says the court can do more to assist in tackling the state's ongoing problems with opioid addiction.
The problem we have is 85% of the $135 million goes to salaries and benefits for all of the 1,500 employees that work for the Supreme Court. The court thereafter works diligently and has worked diligently through grants and other matters to increase our resources. Family treatment courts are a prime example of how the courts are trying to get resources out to the families and to the children to assist in getting rid of the problem.
Charleston attorney Bill Schwartz is challenging Hutchison for the seat. Schwartz agrees that continued reforms need to take place to ensure the Supreme Court is held accountable to taxpayers. He contends that reshaping the public's view of the court means putting an attorney on the bench who has not made a career as a judge or justice.
We've got an image issue, and transparency is the key. Maybe even bringing legislative oversight more so than it is. And that's why I'm running, maybe a taxpayer among the robes, someone who spent a career not as a politician and not as a judge, an alternative, not speaking against any respected judge and justice, but we have enough judges and politicians. I think one of the things we can do is put a taxpayer among the robes.
Schwartz also says there is much more the court can do to curb the opioid crisis and therefore strains on the state's judicial system.
We got to get resources there. I know that was mentioned earlier that this is a legislative decision as to how to allocate resources, but the Supreme Court's in charge of $130 million. And if there is discretionary money within there, that needs to be focused to the frontline workers. And the frontline people in this crisis are the magistrate courts, the family court, the drug court, and the circuit court judges. Those are the people that get their hands dirty with it. Those are the people that need the help. That's where the money needs to go.
Judge Laura Dyer serves Jackson, Calhoun, Mason, and Roan counties as a circuit judge in the state's Fifth Circuit and is also running in Division III. She did not respond to West Virginia Public Broadcasting's request for an interview and did not participate in a candidate forum recorded last week. The Republican State Leadership Committee's Judicial Fairness Initiative has spent more than $10,000 in support of Dyer. Reset West Virginia, another independent expenditure attempting to influence the races for state Supreme Court, has spent more than $215,000 in support of Hutchison. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
To learn more about candidates for the West Virginia Supreme Court, tune in Thursday, June 4th at 6 p.m. for a 2-hour candidate forum that includes 9 of the 10 jurists running across the 3 divisions. That program airs on West Virginia Public Broadcasting stations and will also be available online at wvpublic.org. Stan Bumgarner is a historian and the editor of Golden Seal magazine. He recently wrote an essay titled, What is Appalachia? For the Charleston Gazette Mail. For a recent episode of Inside Appalachia, Bumgarner recorded a version of the essay and talked to reporter Eric Douglas by Skype about what it means for the region. Here's Bumgarner.
What is Appalachia? By Stan Bumgarner. Appalachia evokes an immediate reaction from most people. For some, it's the backward image of the Hatfield-McCoy feud, or perhaps the 60s TV show The Beverly Hillbillies. Although growing up as a big fan of the show, I still see it more as a family of kind and authentic people in a very fake, gratuitous world.
What was your kind of message that you were trying to get across with this?
I just kind of started with that concept of, you know, what is Appalachia? As I said in the column, Appalachia is very diverse. There are pockets where it's not as diverse as other places. But if you start looking out over the whole of Appalachia and even sections within Appalachia, it's very diverse in so many different ways.
How can we take advantage of that diversity?
I think we can leverage that diversity by celebrating so many pieces of our culture, because Appalachian culture is kind of a mix of words, is that there are many Appalachian cultures and subcultures of that. And I think rather than say, okay, we've got one Appalachian culture and you've got to fit into this category or this category to be considered Appalachian, let's celebrate the fact that as a region, we're one of the most diverse in the country, and we're very unique. If nothing else, we are a unique group of people. But rather than say, this is what a mountaineer, this is what, you know, an Appalachian is, everyone celebrates that.
Do we start giving that message to the world outside of Appalachia, or do we have to educate ourselves first? Do we have to get Appalachians to believe that about themselves and realize what's around them, or do we start that message from outside?
You know, it's a twofold process, and it can happen at the same time. Yes, we do need to, as Appalachians, we need to have a better understanding of both our cultural differences and within Appalachia, but always keep in mind that thing that brings us together. And the moment we start seeing it ourselves, I think the world is going to see us as trendy, which we are. I mean, you know how much a ramp selling for in New York right now,
which is frightening, but because I know, yeah, I could buy them on the side of the road right up here, but.
It's like things that we've known for hundreds of years, you know, the world is certainly just now figuring out. But, you know, if we take more pride in those good parts that we do, in the end, there's a bond, there's a familyhood there. And, it's kind of like Texas. That's the closest thing I can think of to Appalachians and West Virginians. It's Texans. If you're from Texas, and if you moved to Texas, you know, you're still, I'm a Texan. And it's all based on this very fascinating history, but more importantly, a pride in that history. Even when there's bad parts of it, they're really proud of their history, and they get their identity from their history. As Appalachians, we've forgotten that often.
Stand up and be proud of who we are.
It means something. When they say, I'm from Texas, it means something. Well, if I'm from West Virginia, it means as much as that or more.
Here's the ending of Stan's essay about Appalachia.
Appalachians always seem to have an eye toward a better future. If not for ourselves, then for our children. Cynical optimists, if you will. Despite our struggles, there's always a belief that tomorrow might be better if we just be allowed to have a say in what tomorrow brings. Far from helplessness, it's hopefulness and authenticity, often for good, sometimes not so much, that best describe us, but please don't define us. In the words of West Virginia poet Muriel Miller Dressler, I am Appalachia. And stranger, though you studied me, you still don't know.
That was Stan Bumgardner reading his essay, What is Appalachia? From the Charleston Gazette Mail, speaking with reporter Eric Douglas. You can listen to Stan read the full essay at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.